Liberal or Liberal podcast. Enjoy the show.
Liberal interview with Dr. Mike Katz, who's running for State Senate in District 4, Delaware District 4. And Delaware Liberal participants is Cassandra Marshall, Nemsky, Stella Blues, and Pandora. And we'll go ahead and get started with the questions. And the first question, just to sort of start us out a little bit, since we are, since we are a blog and a political blog, just to find out, are you at all active with any of the other major national blogs, like the Daily Coast? I mean, have you been? Do you know much about the whole blog culture?
Blogging's actually fairly new to me. I think I've become a little bit more aware of it as I've gotten into the political environment. Politically, I've been more involved in the politics and my professional career in organized medicine at the state level with the Medical Society of Delaware and at the national level of the AMA. So we have message pages and emails and communications that go through the professional community. But as far as the public blogs, I haven't overly been involved in that until really the last 3 months. And so I'm really learning more about the blogging scene.
Okay. All right. Good. You might want to speak up a little bit more. One of the things that we want to do is to talk about a number of issues here that are of long interest to people at the Delaware Liberal blog, and one of our biggest interests is in open government, and we wanted to find out what position you might have on SB 4, Senate Bill 4.
Well, open government, I think one of the big challenges I find with the way the government's run in Delaware is that it's not subject to the Freedom of Information Act, and a lot of what goes on in the behind the scenes in our government in Dover really is private, is not open to the citizens, and I think that's really part of the root cause or part of the inefficiencies and the problems we have and how our government runs. So I'm very in favor of opening the government up. I'm sort of running against the status quo, and one of the first things I think that I would like to see is that the General Assembly as a whole is subject to the Freedom of Information Act, and that what goes on in budget meetings is open and accessible to the community. And ideally what I'd like to see is potentially live streaming of sessions and having decisions fed right online.
Okay.
So I'm definitely in favor of opening the government. I think that's going to help make the government more efficient and effective.
Okay. So you would vote for SB 4 if
yes.
you were in
yes.
in the Congress and, or in the legislature in January. Open it up to the rest of the crew. Anything you want to ask?
Why don't we talk about the diversity of how big your district is and what where your district covers?
Yeah, the district's actually fairly broad. It runs all the way over west to parts of Hokesson and North Star. Includes Greenville, Centerville, and parts of North Wilmington, Brandywine. So it's very broad, and it's actually fairly gerrymandered as well. So it's fairly diverse.
Why don't we talk a little bit about healthcare, universal healthcare, what your views on how Delaware can move forward with healthcare for all?
Yeah. Well, overall, healthcare, and this is a particular interest of mine being a physician, and I see patients every day who are struggling with the cost of health insurance premiums, increasing costs of co-pays and deductibles, and it's not sustainable. It's really not affordable to employees and families as well as employers. It's a problem that needs to be solved. I don't think we have the time to wait for a national solution. I think we have the benefit of being in a state that's small enough and sort of neighborly enough that we can come up with a solution locally very quickly. In addition, something that's very problematic is we have over 100,000 people in Delaware alone that do not have insurance, and many of those are children, and that's just not acceptable. So we need to solve that immediately, and that's something we can do and we need to do. And if I'm in the Senate, I'll make sure that I do everything possible that to make that happen. And assuming Jack Markell's is is successful in getting into the governor position, which I assume that he will and fully expect that he will. I know that that's a high priority for him as well. So the healthcare industry is very, very complex. It's probably one of the most complex industries that I know of, because it's not only the providers, the nurses, the physicians, the technicians that are involved in delivering healthcare, but there's a huge infrastructure that's involved in providing products and services to healthcare. The X-ray machines, the pharmaceuticals, and so forth. So it's a very difficult system to manage. That's, I think, probably been part of the problem over the past several years, and why nationally at the state level that we haven't really been able to crack that nut and be able to create a system that's more efficient and affordable to reduce the cost of healthcare. And I think one of the reasons why I'm running is to be able to get a physician with not only the medical background but also the business background to go down there and help guide a solution in Delaware. And what I see that we can do, certain things to start off doing, is to help increase options in healthcare, increase the number of plans that people can choose from, allow small businesses to join together with individuals so that they can purchase inexpensive healthcare policies. And I think those are some of the steps that we can begin to take very quickly and immediately to allow people to purchase more affordable healthcare.
I know that I've heard a number of folks talk about the fact that that perhaps in Delaware we're not taking advantage of some of the federal programs as aggressively as maybe we should be, of signing kids up for the appropriate health care plans that are available or for the health care plans that are funded by federal money. I guess I want to find out if that seems like something that you would agree with, or that would be an assessment that you would agree with. And if it is, what kind of steps do you think that that the state could take to be a little more aggressive about signing up, the kids who are eligible for programs that already exist?
Yeah, I'm not involved in the day-to-day management of those programs, but that's my understanding as well. And my understanding that many of the people that are not, that are eligible for these programs, including children, are not taking advantage of them. And part of the problem is that we're not doing a good job educating them about what's available to them and getting them signed up into the program. So that really comes down to how well our state runs these programs, how efficient and how effective it is, and we need to find better ways of outreach and coordinating these programs, getting the people that need these services into the programs and taking advantage of them.
Okay. I think that you touched a little bit on this, but are there programs out there or solutions that people have been talking about for Delaware that you're particularly interested in?
Yeah, well, I believe in universal health care, and the definition for that I believe universal health care is that everybody has coverage. I think people talk about a single-payer solution, and I think ideally there could be some benefits to that if you could pull it off, but as I mentioned earlier, the system is so complex, and we really live in a free market society. That would be a very, very difficult thing to coordinate, and I just don't think it's doable. So I think, not that I necessarily have the answers, but I definitely know how to bring the right people together and the experts in the different areas from the medical community and the business community to sit down and get the stakeholders together and figure out what our objectives are and put a community solution together. So it's really getting the right people around the table, keeping the government, in a sense, out of it, but using the position of senator and the power of the state and the interests of the state to get the right people at the table and say, look, this is what we need to accomplish. Come up with some solutions and get back to us and give us your recommendations.
Why don't we talk about the eminent domain issue?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about how we need to go forward with that and the protection of private property for the citizens of Delaware?
Well, my feeling is property ownership, private property ownership is sacred, that when you purchase land, and sometimes people have had land in their families for generations, I mean, that's your home, that's your castle, and it's something very important to individuals and families about their home and their property. I think there's certain situations in national security, or if there's a greater good that needs to be solved, that unfortunately sometimes there needs to be those need to be taken into consideration, where government may need to go to people and say, look, we need to purchase this land, and we fairly compensate those people for that. But as far as some of the situations that have been going on in the city where it's for economic development, I'm not in favor of that.
There have been both Jack Markell and Matt Den have put out a number of plans and issues. Matt Den, in particular, his portfolio, or the thing that he's most interested in, are kids, and making sure that they're more protected, that they're better educated, and that you take care of kids as a long term task. Kind of thing that's going to bring people to live here because they know their kids are going to be well. What issues that either one of them might be campaigning on or trying to champion are issues that you would be interested in working with them on?
Well, I mean, there are a couple issues dealing with children, education, health, and I'm a pediatric anesthesiologist by training, and so I have a special interest in kids, not only because of my profession, but also I'm a father of three. So you kind of alluded to this, I think. I mean, kids, everything we do for our kids is sort of an investment in the future. The better and healthier and smarter our kids are, the better and stronger our community will be in the future. And with children, dealing with healthcare, one of the things that I have an interest in doing is teaching kids to lead healthy lifestyles. And I think that we should consider looking into programs that start in the earliest ages, in the preschool, where healthy lifestyle programs and health education are part of the regular school curriculum. So that it's age appropriate, but kids right off the bat are learning at the earliest ages why it's important to lead healthy lifestyles, what risks are out there, and what they can do to lead a healthy lifestyle and help them make better decisions throughout life. Because if we teach them that, throughout the young years, hopefully they will lead healthier, more productive lives. With respect to education, that's an investment in the future as well, because I believe a strong education, and well, first of all, I think everybody deserves an education and a top-notch education. So the better educated a community we have, better we are as a community to attract better businesses, which will help our economy, but also the more options kids have when they grow up. We want them to be educated so that they can make the decisions that they want to. They're not limited as far as what they want to do in their life. And I can tell you, I personally have benefited from an education, a good education, and it opened up a lot of opportunities for me. So,
where did you go to school?
I went to high school. I grew up in a small town in Connecticut called Madison. It was a public high school, and I think we had, it was a few years ago, so it's tough to remember. I think we probably had about 1,200 kids in our school total for 9 through 12. And then I went to college in Maine, Bates College, which is a small liberal arts school. And then I went subsequently received my medical degree and my MBA at Georgetown, and did my medical training, my fellowship in New England, up in Boston, Children's Hospital.
Can you talk a little bit about No Child Left Behind and where you'd like to see us? I understand it's tied to federal funding, but what is it that we could do in Delaware to better prepare our children instead of, my son goes to public school right now, and they teach him for the test, and I know the teachers don't like doing that. The best thing my son says about it is that he has 2 weeks of no homework. What is it that we can do to get the children better prepared and actually let the teachers teach?
Well, I think you what you said is you nailed it. Let the teachers teach, and the teachers are the professionals. My feeling is that our system, educational system in Delaware is very administrator-driven, and the teachers are really the ones that are the professionals and the ones that need to be driving the system. And you know, they're the ones that know education, they're the ones that are in the classroom on the ground, and they know what their needs are. With respect to the state testing program, I think it's flawed and it needs to be eliminated immediately. That's not really the way I believe, and I think most educators believe how education should occur, is that you have one test at the end of the year, and sort of it's sort of a winner-take-all type situation. You know, I've had a few years in education myself, and I've actually taught a bit in graduate programs, and really education is a process of measuring multiple times throughout a year so that you can see how you're doing, not only the teacher but the students, so that you can measure what you're doing well and what area and what you're good at and other areas that you need improvement at. Not only as a student, but the teacher may say, well, this may not be working for this student, so I need to try something different. And every student is different. Everybody has a different learning style. So what may work on one kid may not work on another. So testing throughout the year on a regular basis will help teachers and students work together, and parents, to measure what's working and what's not, so they can focus on areas of improvement and success and areas that they need to work on a little bit differently.
One of the things that does seem to be, I mean, education really just seems to be such a tough thing to deal with, and not just here, I think that that's true almost everywhere, because it's a fairly complex thing. You know, there are a lot of different stakeholders, you know, no one seems to have enough money to do what it is that they think that they want to do. Everyone seems to want excellence, but nobody seems to know exactly how to get to where they want to. And they're never, and this is just me talking, there almost never seems to be anybody who, you know, is willing to expend some political capital to say, you know, there are all of these stakeholders, and all of you guys are not even going to get half of what you think you want. But you're not going to get half of what you think you want because we have kids that we need to deal with, and this is the path I need you to go down the road on. And so I think that the equation is the political capital. I mean, how much political capital do you think that, you know, you would be able to expend on, you know, getting people to understand that, you know, we can't just work around the edges on this thing. We really do have to just address the usual suspects and figure out a new way to work.
Well, one of the reasons, I mean, why I'm running is because I've experienced and seen how the government runs overall in Delaware. I've worked on some public health issues and healthcare legislation in Dover. I've seen some things work well, and some things don't. And part of it's the open government issue, and part of it's the political bickering that goes on. People using legislation as leverage to get something else they want. I'm not running as a career. You know, I'm not looking at politics as a career. I'm looking at it as a civic duty. I have my career. I'm a physician. I love what I do. I'm doing this to try to make some change. So I don't really look at it as political capital that I'm expending. And I'm not worried if I'm working against my party to accomplish a goal. So if there's something that you know, I believe is right, I'm going to fight for it. With respect to education and some of the other things we're looking at, I think as a state we can't be everything to everybody. And we need to determine what our priorities are and what we can afford and what we can't afford. And what we determine that is our priorities, we need to make sure we do it well. And with respect to education, I feel that you need to get the stakeholders involved, the teachers, the parents, the students, and get them around the table, just as I mentioned with healthcare. And they need to determine, know, what are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish? Start with a clean slate. I mean, maybe there are things that we can tweak in the current system to make it better. Maybe we need to totally redesign what we're doing. Bring in people from outside the community, outside the state. Look at benchmarks in other states. Look at states that are doing education well. And get those experts in, give us their ideas, and then put a model that best meets our needs in Delaware and go from there. But I'm open to totally reevaluating and reassessing the way we deliver education in the state. And as I said, it may just be a modification, and if we need to, we need to totally re-engineer it.
Is the Brandywine School District, I was reading something about them reconfiguring their feeder patterns more along the lines of neighborhood schools?
I'm not aware of that. I don't know.
Okay, because that is something that I've been reading from the Brandywine.
They have done that.
Yeah, it hasn't really taken effect. I think it goes into effect next year. And this is one of the things, as a city resident, that I've noticed is that education tends to be, there's a lot of kids left behind. And it tends to be your high poverty along dividing along socioeconomic lines. And as far as equitable funding, I've lived through this with Red Clay, and my children are now choiced into the Brandywine School District, and I'm actually wondering if that was a mistake. So I look into that, and it concerns me. One of the reasons I did pick Brandywine was because they really didn't implement neighborhood schools. So if you could look into that and perhaps get back to me on that, because it was such a big shift, especially for a district that adamantly took a stand against Wayne Smith.
I'll look into that.
Okay.
You touched on something in the answer to the question about education. And something that I've been thinking a lot lately is political discourse and the lack of civility of political discourse. What do you think we could do in order to try to improve that? And if elected, you're going to go into the state legislature where people fight across the aisles instead of working together across the aisle.
Well, I mentioned earlier that I've worked on some legislation in the medical community through the medical society, so I've actually worked with some of the legislators already in Dover. I think have some good relationships with them, and really I guess my feeling just in any work environment is I'm open and willing to work with anybody. We're all neighbors, and really I think everybody who serves in the legislature, no matter what party they belong to, we should all be there trying to work together for the betterment of our community. So my style is really meeting with people, talking to them, trying to get to know them on a personal basis and work with them in a friendly manner. And sometimes you disagree with people, and that's okay. It's not necessarily personal. It's just that we have disagreements, and that's kind of what makes the world go round, and we can learn from each other. But I really feel working one-on-one with people, I'm very excited about that opportunity.
You had said, before we started, recording this, you had said that, basically been walking a lot of the neighborhoods in your district here, if not all of the neighborhoods so far. And I'm curious, when you're speaking to people, what is the most pressing issue that people are talking to you about?
Well, it's interesting. I got into the race fairly late in the primary, so I started walking late July, and I had never been in a public election before as a candidate, so it was a learning experience for me. I started off slowly and sort of got used to knocking on people's doors that I don't know. And I've got to tell you, it's probably been one of the most enjoyable, exciting things I've done. I mean, 99.9% of the people are terrific. They may not be in a situation where they really are in the mood where they want to talk, but people are always polite. And even if they, right off the bat, they're not interested in supporting your candidacy, people are at least fairly polite. The issues really have shifted over the past several weeks, and I can say over the last 3 weeks it's really been interesting. The tone that I've been experiencing has shifted dramatically, and where people were talking about the environment and, you know, open space and issues such as with the Stoltz projects, weeks ago, it's quickly changed that people are really focused on the economy. People are very worried. Seniors are very worried about their unfixed incomes. They've worked hard and saved hard all their lives, and they've seen their 401s and their retirement plans just dwindle away. People have lost jobs. There was one door I knocked on. That was actually in a primary. A very nice woman who had four kids grown out of the house. Three of them had lost their jobs and had moved into her house with their kids. And so they were all living around the house. It was pretty dramatic. So people are very worried about jobs, about retirement, saving for kids' colleges. And that it's taken a dramatic shift over the past few weeks.
One of the things that's been at the top of your website has been economic development. What are some steps that Delaware can take to increase the number of jobs, increase the number of good jobs for Delawareans and Pennsylvanians who come in to work here?
The economy, I think, is extremely important, because a strong economy is going to be the engine that really drives our ability to do all the things we want to do in Delaware and do them well. And in order to have a strong economy, I think we need to do things, create an environment that rewards job growth, that rewards investment, and that rewards entrepreneurship. And actually, I've been working on a plan called the Small Business Prosperity Plan with Jack Markell. And what that does is it does the same things that we were just mentioning. It fosters entrepreneurship and also helps the companies that are currently in Delaware grow and create jobs and good jobs. So we really need to focus on creating an environment that fosters those things to make businesses grow and want to be here. There's actually another area, I think, where we have a tremendous opportunity in Delaware to grow jobs, and that's really dealing with alternative energy options. And, the offshore wind farm down in Sussex County is an example of that, and a really neat project, which is a partnership between the University of Delaware, DuPont, and the federal government to look into solar energy. And we can be a national leader in these areas, and I think that's an opportunity for us to also grow jobs and export products and services. So these are a couple areas where we not only have a benefit of doing things that are environmentally sound, but to also be a national leader that would create jobs.
Okay. One of the things I've noticed recently is that we've had at least plans for expansion of some of our healthcare facilities or facilities that want to come here. Christiana Hospital, down in Wilmington, is going to expand. I guess that they were thinking about trying to expand to have a center up here someplace. And then I've heard that Fox Chase is thinking about having a facility out here. It just seems all of a sudden there's a lot of healthcare expansion in this state. And, for a state that doesn't have that many people, really, what do you see? I mean, do you see this as part of a new boom in healthcare services here? Or, what do you think accounts for this new interest in all of this expansion of healthcare?
Well, I think there are a couple things. I think healthcare is continually evolving. We're learning how to do more. I think Delaware, we're fortunate that we're getting more expertise in Delaware. Helen Graham Center at Christiana is an amazing facility, and you can see the growth in that. And we're actually bringing if you look at it from an economic point of view, it's an expansion industry. And we're pulling in patients from out of state. So a lot of the patients we see are not Delawareans. Okay. Many of the patients we see are coming from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. And we're becoming a center of excellence. Actually, we are. And Christiana care system is amazing. I've been in the state a little over 12 years, and there's been enormous growth, not only in the physical facility, but enormous growth in the services and the quality of the service that the hospital provides in the health system. And I feel very, very fortunate that I think we have a very high quality of care through Christiana, as well as AI DuPont Hospital for Children. It's amazing to be in a small community and have the quality of services we have. I think we're very fortunate to have that. What's a little puzzling to me is the state's move to try to attract another center in with cancer research and Fox Chase, and the perplexing thing that I find with that is that they're looking to add beds potentially in some research, but it's really not really spreading the current patient base over more facilities. So I almost see that as a possible increase in costs of healthcare, because you're increasing the infrastructure, you're possibly decreasing efficiencies, and I don't necessarily think that's a good move. I don't think that many people in the healthcare community were really involved in that decision. That was sort of a political decision that came out of nowhere, basically. The medical community was not aware of that.
That's good to know. I think I want to ask about workforce housing. That's sort of a hot issue at Delaware Liberal. I'll confess that I don't know that much about it, but I know that
Basically lower price point housing for the workforce.
Yeah.
Without a lot of planning, which is one of the
affordable housing. Yes.
But if you haven't looked into it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the plans or the details of that. I mean, overall with housing, I think we need to make sure that people can afford housing. And I think we also need to make sure that people are not getting into houses that they cannot afford, which is part of the financial mess we're dealing with right now.
Right. You know, really, with him being running in North Wilmington, it's just not an issue. It's just not. I think that if Mike ends up in Dover, he's going to. He should read up on this. But it's just
so. I don't know how much really, people in Dover have any influence over that, other than the fact that I think that people have to sign the bills for some of the additional infrastructure that has to go in for some of that stuff. So, that's the only reason. It's a big deal, and a lot of people have been talking about it. Not everybody knows that much about it. I live in the city, and I don't really know that much other than what I see.
But below the canal in Middletown, it's a huge issue.
Right. And then the last thing I wanted to...
In Sussex County, I'd imagine it's a huge issue with...
This is Newcastle County. This is in the Newcastle County.
One day we'll be in Sussex.
Below the canal.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about it, Liberal Geek on Delaware Blog has done an amazing job of writing about it. You can go back. How far can you go back?
You
on
can
the
just
blog?
Click on Liberal Geek.
Or you can go to the topic itself for him, Liberal Geek.
Click on Liberal Geek and it'll be all
He's done an amazing job of explaining. He's been following very closely. It's complicated.
And then my last question is, how did you decide to run?
Well, it was really, basically we really love Delaware. We've been here a little over 12 years. All three of my kids were born here, and we just saw a lot of problems with the state, and I wanted to make a difference and try to improve it. I mean, I deal with patients every day. I talk to them about the problems that they're having, what struggles families are dealing with, increased cost of food, increasing cost of electricity, fuel. You know, I mentioned healthcare premiums are going up, deductibles and co-pays are going up, and there's just a lot of issues that people are dealing with. You know, I really felt that it wasn't, you know, the options were to sit on the sidelines and watch or to get involved and do something about it. And this year just didn't seem like the year to sit on the sidelines. It didn't seem like an option. So really wanted to get involved and make a difference. And I felt that, you know, I've got some unique skills and background that I can really utilize in the Senate to help the state and help citizens. What I do every day, I enjoy helping people, and this was another way to help people. I've got extensive background in healthcare and the delivery of healthcare and the business of healthcare. I also have a business background and an MBA, and I'm a small business person, so I know the struggles that the challenges small businesses have in growing their business and hiring people and employing people. And I think I can bring those skills. I know I can bring those skills to the Senate and help our community.
The set of the skill sets that you just talked about. I know I said those were my last questions. This is it. I swear. That skill set that you talked about, would these be your greatest strengths against your opponent?
Well, I think my strengths against my opponent are my experiences and my accomplishments. I have real life accomplishments every day. You know, I'm helping patients. I'm helping them lead healthier lives. When I was at AI DuPont Hospital for Children, I helped improve the quality of anesthesia and critical care services. And an example of how I sort of brought a lot of my business experience and healthcare experience and ability to bring people together to accomplish goals. Last winter, when Aetna unilaterally cut sedation services for important colon cancer screenings, I unified doctors and patients and state leaders, including Jack Markell and Matt Den, to join them together, and we were able to effectively force Aetna to rescind that decision, and that had effect not only at the state level, but that was a national decision. So I have real life experience of and the ability to get things done.
Great. Fantastic. So I think that's the end of my questions. Is there anything that you want to say to the Delaware Liberal readers or bloggers?
Just encourage you to learn more about our campaign. We have a website, www.cats4senate.com, the number 4 Senate. And we hope that we gain your support. That we're in a very, very tight race. Things are going very well. If you believe in the values and things that we stand for, we really strongly encourage you to get involved with your time, to volunteer. You can communicate with us on our website. And we just need a lot of help getting the message out and getting the voters to the voting booth to help us win. So I want to thank you all for the opportunity to talk to you. And it's been a real pleasure. And I've got a strong work ethic, and I promise you, if I have the opportunity, I'll work hard to make Delaware better.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And, you know, good luck. We think that, you know, you're going to be the right guy in the Senate.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
This has been a DelawareLiberal.net production. I'm Liberal Geek. Thanks for listening.